The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and we have a huge show for you today. Paul Walker of the Fast and Furious franchise passed away this past week, and we will discuss a little since he was a decent actor. He was a pretty good actor,
yeah,
guys.
Absolutely.
He actually was. Privatized companies are way more greedy than government businesses, and I have proof. So we will discuss that. And yesterday, the House Judiciary Committee met to discuss. You ready for this one? Justin, this one's going to blow your mind. You ready for this?
I don't know.
Impeaching Barack Obama as president of the United States.
Goodness.
Actual meeting of the House Judiciary Committee to do this. But, yeah, that's what's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the queue. And my name is Mark Bland, joined today by Justin Deming, who you can follow Deymofo, D-E-Y-E-M-O-F-O, on Twitter.
And Instagram.
As well as our producer Bobby.
What's up, guys?
Bobby, you said you had a call for me.
Yeah, there's a call for you.
There's a call for me on the line.
Pretty important call, too.
Yeah, okay, all right.
We're starting off with a phone call. This is different.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on, man? Who's this?
This is Mike Barcell. I'm the GM of WINI 1420 in Murfreesboro.
Oh, Mike Barcells. Ladies and gentlemen, we are syndicated to two different radio stations, 1280 AM KYRO, as well as 1420 WINI. And Mike Barcells is the station general manager down there. What's going on, bro?
Well, I got you on our station. I like your show, your wrestling bits and entertainment, but sometimes you just get too much in line with Obama, and I already got one crazy liberal on my station, so I just had to call and talk to you about it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. Like, obviously you like the show. Bobby, he likes the show.
He does.
So, and you know, we got Justin here, and we don't try, like, we're not beating anyone over the head with it, do you think?
No, not too bad. But sometimes, you know, it's just, sorry. Yeah, I listen to Tom Hartman 5 days a week, and I'm wondering why I got this guy on my station. And then, you know, you kind of drive the nail down even further on Saturdays.
Whoa. Oh, I see. So you're obviously a conservative, Mike, because me and Mike have never really talked. I mean, I understand that that's a conservative radio station down there. And, you know, the good conservative Christian people of middle America listen to 1420 WINI. And, you know, I want to make sure that I entertain those people. You know, no matter how much they hate Barack Obama.
Wait till they get a load of me.
That black president. You know, that guy, right?
Mm.
Yeah. So anyway, Mike, I'm really sorry. Like, I don't want you to feel ever like I'm driving the nail down further. Is there something I can do? Or, you know, I think it's really funny that you actually call into my show. Like, it's almost as if you had, like, a purpose or something.
Yeah,
like,
I think I have something in mind for us.
It seemed like
us little Southern Illinoisans down here in our little town.
Yeah, that, you guys are little. You are down there.
You and I should meet up, and we should race on skates for the Patriots Cup and see who the true patriotic person is.
Whoa. Wait a second, ladies and gentlemen. Wait a second. Wait, are you sure? First off, those dogs in the background, even they think that that's
Governor
ridiculous.
Pat Quinn's dog fights, that's every Wednesday night.
Oh, no.
Okay, now first off, those dogs in the background heard you say that, and even they're trying to scream at you and say, don't take that guy on, he will kill you. Like, that's what the dogs are trying to tell you right now. Like, yeah, that's what they're doing.
It'll
they're
be rough.
Get him, doggy.
This is going to be rough. Are you sure? Listen. I understand that you conservatives love aliens. I think you think that the whole world, the sky is constantly falling. You know, down there in the heart of Murfreesboro, down there in Southern Illinois, you guys got yourself tractor races, and you think 1874 is a great year. And I understand that. Like, you know, we live in 2013. You know what I'm saying? This is like
amazing. About 45 minutes will change the area, right? This difference in mileage.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. Like, I understand that heavily, but you have to understand that you basically called up to a big city-type show.
Uh-oh.
And being a small-town guy in a small-town radio station down there with small-town people with small-town minds that happen to be conservative voters, I don't think that you guys understand that if I come walking into your town with my team, I'm just walking out with, what did you call it, the Patriots Cup? Oh, yeah.
The Patriots Cup.
By far, yes. I'm going to Patriot that ass. That's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you. I'm not going to get rude or disrespectful, but I'm just saying, if I come down there, I'm what, like, is what, like, I guess we'll figure out the rules come a day. I mean, you are conservative, and that is a bunch of conservative people. You guys probably want to change the rules halfway through the race as it is.
No. That's the other guy does that.
I see. Okay, so, well, you know what? You know what, Mike? I respect him, Bobby. Justin, I respect him. Mike, I respect you a lot because you had the guts to call up to this radio show, say something to us, and you know what? We appreciate being on 1420 WINI. We think that you are a great radio station, and we thank you for syndicating the show every single week. At the same point, you've kind of thrown the gauntlet down, bro. So now I got to put the situation to you.
Well, here's what I have in mind.
Okay.
December 17th at Allstate Skating Rink in DuCoin, Illinois.
Yep.
It's 6 to 8. We do this thing with them once a month. It's a family night, but come on out between 6 and 8, and we'll get out there, and we'll do a lap. The winner takes home the cup.
Now, let's say, we know. Do you want a rematch? Let's just say that right now. Do you want a rematch, Mike? Would you like a rematch after
really
I win?
About losing, sure, I'll give you a rematch.
No. I'm wondering if you want the rematch. Are you sure? Like, did you want, like, if after getting beat by me, you know, you're probably going to be sitting there, you know, all dumpy and frumpy on the back of your diesel truck, of course, with your mossy oak stickers and your hunting rifles in the back window and all that.
Sure, and the Confederate flag, yeah.
With your Southern Cross flag down there, you know, the good old Confederate flag going to be rocking and rolling with your, you know, Luke Bryan on in the background.
Well, Luke Bryan's good.
Yeah, he is good, but, you know, they're going to have that playing in the background, and, you know, all the kids are going to be weeping and crying, you know, because they had to come watch the skating guy get his butt whipped by the big city dude because they weren't, you know, instead they'd rather be whitewashing fences like it's freaking...
I appreciate the subtlety of your approach here, Mike.
He called my show.
Some of these people actually, you know, probably voted for, you know, Obama and other Democrats in Illinois.
Sure, they did.
A little bit of a left-leaning city we're going to be in.
Oh, you think that this is a left-leaning city that we're going to be in?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what?
Well, good. Then I can come with Mark, and maybe, just maybe, someone in that town can make me a decent latte with soy milk because I'm not a barbarian.
Oh, my goodness. Mike, you understand. So, Justin, are you going to come? Will you try to come? Will you be my cheering section?
I am the liberal voice of the queue.
Fair enough.
Maybe I should be
Bobby,
with you.
Bobby, are you going to be able to make it, maybe? Maybe?
I'm the producer. I have to be there.
All right. Oh, producer Bobby, I might even have to get Tony Cazina to come down there.
Oh, the Kaz,
if I can get Kaz to come down there, I mean, that's basically a walking army just walking into DuCoin. You understand that, right? I've been to that town before.
I'll just have all of my WINI minions there, and then we can go. It'll be fair on both sides.
Mike, I just want you to know I appreciate everything you do, and thank you for... syndicating
Don't thank him. He's making his money off of the thousands and thousands of listeners that tune into his station every single week to hear the glorious voice that is Mark Bland, as well as the cast of The Queue. Like, he's good. You know, I used to come down there and ruin your women, basically, and use them over and over because I had a girlfriend that was from DuCoin. Yes.
Oh, wow.
I used to do that. You understand? Wow. Like, I've been to DuCoin, ran and pillaged that town and left before. Like, I can do this again. This is not a problem.
This just got really weird.
The guy from the Street Machines that caused all the trouble and shut it down a few years ago is what you're saying.
Oh, there it is.
Oh.
There it is.
Wow.
There's a reason why the State Fair left. That's all I'm going to say.
It's still there.
You guys put on the fake one and try to make everybody believe that it's still the State Fair. I remember. I've been to that State Fair a few times. Yeah. Okay, so here's the deal. Right. December 17th. Mike Barcells, the general manager of WINI down there in Murfreesboro, Illinois. We are going to be skating against each other in DuCoin, Illinois on December 17th. What is the name of the place again? I want to make sure that I can plug that into the good old, you might not have heard of this, the Google map. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Well, what? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's called All Skate.
Okay.
And it's right there on Route 51 in DuCoin near the fairgrounds, actually.
Sounds like a plan. So anybody out there near the fairgrounds. You know, the fairgrounds. Air quotes, fairgrounds. State fair, air quotes. Yeah, I get it. So here's the deal, Mike.
Yeah.
I'll be there December 17th, and you told me the designated time and the designated place, and I will gladly designate that ass because it's coming. So be prepared, bro.
Looking forward to it.
You guys can check out more details at theqnow.com.
Sure. Sure you can.
The exact date
Bobby,
and time
stop trying to like gloss this up with like commercial crap and all that. No,
I don't want anybody to miss this.
No, nobody's going to miss it.
WINIA challenge.
Here's the situation. I really appreciate that. Yeah, we'll talk later, okay, bud?
Sounds great.
All right, man. Bye. Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, we are
Mike
off to the races.
Barcells, the station general manager of 1420 WINI, one of our homes, one of our stations we're syndicated to.
Yeah.
Calls me up because he's unhappy that our show kind of drives the nail in a little deeper. Because he's already got a liberal on his station. He's got, now he considers me the moderate, a double. And challenges me to a race. Do you realize what I will do to you on speed skates and roller skates and all kinds of skates?
Mark, when was the last time you were on skates?
Oh, man. Probably about 8 or, probably I took my wife roller skating, I guess, about 8 or 9 years ago. So it was about 2004, 2005 when we went, or maybe even earlier than that, but it could have been about 10 years ago. We went skating just because she hadn't been roller skating in a long time.
Right.
I had, and we went on like a Sunday afternoon for a couple hours and had fun. But it's been a long time.
You wear the quads or the blades?
Quads.
I have not been. Okay, so I went roller skating. I thought it would be a great idea to get my daughter for her second birthday kid roller skates. So me being 462 pounds got on roller blades.
Sexiness.
Got on roller blades for the first time in probably 8 years.
Yeah.
Terrible idea.
Guys, do you think that I should get a flag that says Obama's change has finally come to DeCoin? Flag that as I roll around the roller rink?
It'll be your victory lap
flag. It's my victory lap flag that just says Obama's change has finally come to DeCoin.
Well, I'd like to say hello to our wonderful listeners in WINI in Southern Illinois.
I don't think you people understand what's getting ready to happen. Mike Barcells, the owner of 1420, or not the owner, the general manager of the station, he's getting ready to get his ass handed to him live in front of a crowd, and he's willing to do that?
Are we going to take over the station?
Millions and millions.
And good. Zillions.
Of
are we
going to
take
listeners.
Over the station, though?
I don't think we're going to take over the station. But you know what? There's a cup. The Patriots Cup.
There's a Patriots Cup.
It's on the line. I'm not walking out of DeCoin without the Patriots Cup.
We're bringing that back to the queue.
If I walk out of DeCoin without the Patriots Cup, we got issues. I will burn, like William Tecumseh Sherman, I will burn that city to the ground.
Oh, wow.
What? Literally.
What?
Bring your football team. I will decimate them. All of them.
You're making so many friends.
We are going to bring a future world champion, a world champion in his own right, Justin.
For life.
That's right, for life.
This world champion, that world champion.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into this. I got a couple rants I want to do here, and that kind of just put me on edge. But man, I'm actually not having a really great day. I had a tire blowout on me on the way to the station.
Kaboom.
Not good. No. Not a happy camper. Let's just put it that way. But
and
at the same point,
you're still here because you're resourceful.
I'm a resourceful individual.
Like a library.
I'll tell you who's not resourceful.
Who's that?
This House Judiciary Committee trying to impeach Obama. They're not resourceful, ladies and gentlemen. I've got an issue with this. What is the problem you people have? What is your issue with Barack Obama as president of the United States? Every single time you guys try to claim something he does is unconstitutional, not a law, not of this, they send it all the way up the chain to the Supreme Court.
What?
Those guys tag it and say, pass. Every time, it's a big old check mark with the word pass. Uh-huh. And it's not because every single person on the Supreme Court is this diehard liberal. No.
It's a conservative Supreme Court.
That's a pretty conservative Supreme Court.
Supreme Court.
So Barack Obama, the liberal hate bag, literally is going to your conservative Supreme Court, and Supreme Court is going, he ain't doing nothing wrong. Check mark, pass, he's good. Like,
Isn't there only one member of the Supreme Court that he appointed?
Remember a few weeks ago, we had the John Stewart situation?
Yeah.
Where he was talking about, they talk about their constitution, they're always pulling it out, and they're trying, I got my constitution somewhere right around here. You know what they were doing this past week during this House Judiciary Committee thing?
Pulled out the Constitution.
No, they were walking around to other Republicans and handing them the articles of impeachment to remind them what the articles of impeachment are. I'm like, if you don't know what the articles of impeachment are, you're a freaking moron. You shouldn't even be there anyway. You're just, listen, you don't have to make chicken McNuggets, right? You don't have to serve Schlafly beer. You don't have to record radio shows at 1280 AM KYRO or 1420 WINI. You don't have to race in roller rink races against moron conservative station managers and beat them. Your only job is to do what we ask you to do. Oh, so what do you guys think about abortion? We don't like abortion. We do like abortion. As a whole, you make the vote for us. That's your job. My constituents say that they don't like this or they do like this. So I will check mark yes or no. That's your job. Your job is to stand there and know your job.
Yeah.
Simple.
To but represent.
What are their grounds?
Like all the gangsters.
What are their grounds for the impeachment, though?
They don't have any. That's the problem. There is no grounds for the impeachment. It's literally just, hey, let's get together because obviously this NSA thing. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about the NSA thing. In 2006, when George Bush was president of the United States, the story came out that Verizon and Sprint and a few others had tapped cell phones for specific purposes under the Patriot Act.
Right.
None of you cared. Mm-mm. None of you said a word. None of you jumped up and down. None of you had a problem.
None of you burst out your yellow "Don't Tread on Me" flags. Not one of you. Not one.
But see, that's the whole problem. Is
listen. Basically, the problem is, ladies and gentlemen, they don't have a reason, Bobby. There's nothing for their good. They're reaching for brass rings that ain't even there, man.
It's red meat for the base.
So then here's the other question to that. You know, a lot of this is based upon what you're talking about. You know, this whole spying situation, the NSA. Mm-mm. So why are people okay with a company such as Amazon to deliver your goods through drones? But for the government,
this whole drone situation with Amazon is kind of weird in its own sense. But at the same point, you give them your address and say, ship me some stuff here. Ship me stuff to this address. Send it to me. I want it here at this address. So, like, they send a drone, if that's how they choose to, you probably have the option to, yes, I want the drone, or no, I don't. Like, yeah, I don't think it's just like, hey, you know what? You just ordered that mochaccino latte? We're sending it drone style, buddy. You better deal with it. Like, that's not what happens.
No, I understand that. But in the same aspect, that drone could be used to do exactly what they're talking about.
Freedom bomb.
Freedom
bomb latte. No, first of all, you realize the Amazon drones don't really exist, right?
No, they do. It's called Amazon Prime, and they're being launched in 2015.
And they might be using it, but it's only going to be in specific cities. Like, this isn't just going to be
we won't see them before 2026,
first
probably.
Off, they're not going to be just, like, whizzing past you while you're on your scooter, okay, ladies and gentlemen? Amazon does this, what they're going to do is it's going to be a GPS-based system. They're going to input a GPS number. They're going to, like, launch up into the air. They're going to fly a few hundred feet in the air with a box or whatever. They're going to drop in on somebody's specific GPS location. Mm-hmm. You're going to take the box from them, and then when they realize it, or you hit a button or whatever, it just goes right back to the old GPS location. That's it.
Yeah, but they say 2015. I'll eat my shoe if that's running by 2015.
Yeah, I don't think
really
it will.
What it was is an expose. A book came out, some hard journalism about Amazon, about its CEO, about how the company runs. So they distract everyone with this "we're going to have drones" story. They get 60 Minutes and CBS to publish it. Suddenly we're all talking about drones. Sorry, it's a little
side. Do you believe in aliens too?
No. I'm just saying it's
a PR
move.
Do you want to cheer for Mike Barcells?
This is a classic PR move. Close one door, open another. So we're all talking about drones. Those don't exist. And they won't exist for a while. But when they do exist, to Mark's point, saying, hey, ship me something, and them shipping it via drone versus, you know, a mail truck is very different than the drone technology in the Middle East, the wiretapping. Different issues don't really correlate.
But not if you're conservative. In your mind, it's just, I see some whirly birds with their drone stuff going on, and it's obvious they're trying to spy on me and my family. You know, because we got our beer can stacked up like a pyramid, and we got Junior on in the background. They need to know this, and it's like, we already know it. You got the bumper sticker on your truck, idiot. Like, we get it.
Right.
It's just the new version of, in the early 90s, the black helicopter cloud.
Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 2013. Life has moved on. Technology has moved on. Twitter and social media are part of our world, okay? Mm-hmm. You literally are using Facebook, which has a lot of your information already embedded into it.
Right.
To check into a lot of things. Also, by the way, if you didn't notice, it's 2013. 200 plus years, this country's already existed. If they don't already have all your information with that little Social Security card and all that other stuff already in a book, in a computer somewhere, I think that they're dropping the ball pretty heavily anyway.
Yeah.
Okay? We all know that they got it. It's not a problem. So stop worrying about a bunch of crap you already know is there. Hey, they're coming out with this movie called Top Gun. It's got Tom Cruise in it. What do you think about that, Bobby? Huh? Isn't that horrible?
What?
Tom Cruise. He's going to be in a movie called Top Gun. Whoa, blowing your mind, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Blowing your mind. Wait. No, it already happened in 1987. See? Stuff's been around for years. Okay? We don't get amazed by things that have been around for years.
So are we still talking about impeachment?
All right.
I think so.
Are we?
The impeachment situation is ridiculous. I want all of you idiots to stop with the impeachment thing. Okay? That's all I want you to do. Please stop with the impeachment thing. Now, private companies designed to drug test, how that has nothing to do with drug testing for welfare. That's another rant I want to go on, but it's a very short rant, ladies and gentlemen. I love how these people who are conservatives go, well, yeah, they need a drug test for welfare. And so, do I have a problem with that? No, I don't. I don't have a problem with people drug testing for welfare. I don't have a problem with that at all. I don't think that, or food stamps. I have no problem with that at all.
I don't have a problem with it.
But we'll get into it.
Of course you have a problem with it because you just want to have a problem with crap. You're like Travis Cook on the other side. You just want to have a problem with stupid stuff. Now, here's the deal. I don't have a problem with doing that because, yes, you are getting subsidies and monies for things, and you should be. You shouldn't have the option to use that to barter out on drugs. I'm sorry, you shouldn't. You should not have the ability like, oh, I'll go buy you some milk with my food stamp card and all that in exchange for a hit of heroin or a hit of this. Like, you shouldn't be able to do it, and that's where the problem is because there are people that abuse that thing. Now, the same point. When a conservative goes, yeah, well, I work hard in my union job or my whatever job, and they drug test me, so why shouldn't they drug test them? You work for a private company. Your boss is an idiot and a moron, and he doesn't trust you. So want to blame somebody? Blame your boss. You blame your boss who doesn't trust you. You don't blame the welfare people or the liberals or Barack Obama and a bunch of... No. You got a problem with the fact that your company drug tests you? It's not everybody else's fault. You blame your boss. Your privatized boss who owns your company, makes his own decisions. Probably voted for Mitt Romney. Okay? Vote. Just stop. All of you. Stop. Take a step back. It's the world's not coming to an end. Barack Obama's going to be president in 2017. He will be there for the inauguration of the new guy or girl. And then he'll move on with his life. And that's it. That's it. No. That's it. That's the end of it. Okay? There's nothing more to it. It's not a dictatorship. This isn't a tyranny. He doesn't have a... This isn't Muammar Gaddafi. He's not going to have a government regime holding you hostage for the next 35 years as president of the United States. That's what dictators do. They hold people hostage, and they stay in power through that force. He's just going to leave in 2017. There's no tyranny. There's no dictatorship.
Can I?
This is a great statement here. Current government.
No. I want everybody to take a break. We got to take a break. Okay. We're at the bottom of the hour. CBS, Fox News. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue. When we come back, Justin, you're going to get to jump in on it.
Okay.
Okay? We'll be back on the queue right after this.
Listening to The Queue with Mark Bland and producer Bobby. Check us out online at thequeuenow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Queue. Of course, Mark Bland joined today by producer Bobby and Justin Deming.
I'm busy dancing.
You can follow
Die Mofo
on Twitter
and Instagram
every single week. Also, you can follow me at Mark Bland as well as at The Queue Now and CC Papa. That's SISIPOPPA.
I think I'm going to have to change that to like The Hickman Brew or something.
The Hickman Brew.
Because I've got like 82 something kids now.
Oh, wow.
I feel like the delivery man. I've got 533 children.
You are prolific.
You are quite prolific.
But we have decided this is our third and final.
Well,
this is the trifecta.
This is it. This is it. You're done. You're out.
Yep, we're done.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Queue. Of course, Mark Bland. And I want to start back off of kind of where we ended off, ranting a little bit. And Justin said he wanted to chime in on welfare.
Just on the drug testing.
Go ahead.
My opposition to it, really, is that it doesn't work. It's a boondoggle. It's moralizing. It's saying, oh, all these welfare people, these poor people, are cheats. They're off doing drugs. They're off doing this. They're off doing that. We passed these laws a few years ago. Now there's a track record that everything the liberals said against it is true, that a tiny fraction of people ever test positive, that it's a huge burden on people who have to pay for their own testing, that it's a huge cost to states to to run all this testing. It's not based around anything practical. It's not based around the idea that there's massive welfare fraud, because there's not. It's like a percentage of a percentage. It's just the moralizing to point at an already powerless, more or less,
now,
segment of society.
You said a percentage,
and say,
of a percentage, yeah.
A percentage of a percentage.
So it could, yes, be like 0.05% of like 1% of the total.
I can go in my cell phone right now and tell you five people that I know should not be on welfare,
but
that are getting it.
But that's anecdotal. That's not empirical evidence. If you can show me any study that shows massive welfare fraud that's not funded by the Heritage Foundation or some think tank, the Congressional Budget Office, everything that's ever actually studied welfare shows that welfare fraud is minute. And this idea that we need to drug test everyone because I'm not paying for people to do drugs, it's sort of like the...
But is it that big of a...
It's sort of like changing all the voter ID
laws. Can I ask you a question, though?
To stop all this voter fraud that
doesn't
happen.
Is it that big of a problem to have that rule, though? Like, honestly, is it that big of a problem? Let them drug test them. Let them. If they're going to pass, they're going to pass anyway. It doesn't matter. You
yeah,
see what I'm saying?
Whole,
like, if they pass, they pass. If they don't pass, well, then, yeah, they got caught. So therefore...
Here's the big problem. One of two things happens. One, you have states spending massive amounts of money drug testing people, which is a boondoggle. It goes to these private drug testing, lab testing things, you know?
Okay.
Or you're placing an undue burden on the 99.5% of people who need welfare,
all right,
and don't do drugs and now have to pay for these expensive tests just to prove to a society that hates them for being on welfare.
I don't think the test would cost them anything at all, actually, though.
Yeah, I didn't think that the people were paying for it.
I think this would just be literally the state would, like, you know, make you submit to a drug test, and if you pass, you pass, and you're good. You're good to go. And if you don't, then you were doing bad things. I mean,
that varies state by state with the laws.
I mean,
but
okay,
I
Justin,
would say
here's
look
the real
at
question.
The results.
Here's the real question.
Because it's one of the two. Either the people are paying or the states are paying.
We got to put you on the Budweiser hot seat here for a second, okay, buddy?
Okay.
All right. Let's say that you found out that an individual, mm-hmm, who's a friend of yours,
mm-hmm,
is on welfare,
mm-hmm,
and was an heroin addict. And they went and they took the welfare test,
mm-hmm,
and they failed it. Would you be okay with that? If they took their welfare away from that individual because they failed that test, would you be okay with that? Like, you found out, that person admitted, yeah, I am a heroin addict, and I did not pass the test.
Right.
I am your friend, and I was on welfare. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, but this is what I'd call a layered hypothetical.
No, it's not a layered hypothetical.
It is
because,
and let me tell you why.
How many people out there do you think have friends who do drugs who are on welfare? I'm not saying it's a lot. I'm not saying it's a lot of people at all. I'm just saying it could be.
Heroin is what I consider a hard drug that wrecks people's lives.
It could be 10. Okay, well, that's saying it's heroin, but let's just say any drug, okay? It could be 10 people in the entire St. Louis area out of 2 million people. It could be 10 total people.
So is that worth the state, either the state paying hundreds or of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars,
to look
for those 10 people
to
test everyone? Or is it worth everyone who's not a drug addict having to pay out of pocket for those expensive tests? I don't know if you've had to do lab testing for any medical work.
Oh, yeah.
It's not cheap.
I just had to do blood testing for a pro wrestling license.
Yeah, yeah. So, exactly. So you can say it's not cheap. If we're putting out that burden on people who already need welfare, the majority of whom...
We're putting the burden on the people that need welfare.
If we're not putting it on them, we're putting it on the taxpayer. So then we can't use this argument that we're trying to save taxpayer money.
But see,
all the junkies aren't getting welfare.
It does make a good
when
point.
We're spending all
I
this money on lab testing.
I understand your point, but here's the thing. So you can't also stereotype, because that is kind of what would eventually happen. If I understand what you're saying, you can't, you know, everybody paying, doing all this, and then us paying, you know, or me individually paying for it. But then it becomes a stereotype thing. Hey, Justin, you know, you've got a beard. You look kind of like a homeless guy. I need you to take a drug test to be able to get this welfare.
Well, that wouldn't go that route. Like, only people that are applying for welfare are going to have to get drug tested.
No, that's what I'm saying. If he was applying based upon...
Well, if he was applying and that rule was in the books, it wouldn't matter what he looked like. As long as he's applying at all, he's going to have to take the test. That's the rule.
And if it wasn't a rule, no one would necessarily have to be tested at all. See, the stereotype, really, this whole law is about the stereotype. The stereotype that people on welfare are, you know, druggies and lazy and cheating
really
the system and reaching into our pockets.
And
that's the stereotype.
In this day and age, we worry about so many inconsequential things, honestly. Right. Yeah. I really think that that's the problem. Like, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I was born in the mid-70s, okay? By the mid-80s, I was old enough to understand conversations that were going on. Did I understand every aspect of those conversations? No. You know, there were probably some deep things that weren't told to me that, you know, adults were talking about and stuff like that. But I don't remember at a 10, 11, 12. I don't even remember in the early 90s when I was in high school and I really understood things a lot better. I don't ever remember anybody being so vitriolic against broke or poor people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember anybody talking about patriot this and love America that. I don't remember any of that, okay? Listen,
in America.
I ain't gonna lie to you. Bro, on 9/10/2001, the day before 9/11, that day and probably for a decade before, the song by Lee Greenwood, Proud to Be American, probably was only spun on American radio maybe a total of like 2,000 times over a decade.
Right, right.
I mean, seriously, the day after 9/11 on 9/12, I mean, it was the commercials, it was the TV, the guys, he's coming to different, you know.
Right, things. Right.
Like, mm-hmm. It was ridiculous. Like, baseball games and stuff, like, it was ridiculous how quickly everybody just grabbed onto something to just say, hey, I'm a patriot, I'm American, and I love it, you know what I'm
and
saying?
And it's even changed sports. Like, if you go to a baseball game now, a lot of times you get God Bless America instead of take me out to the ball game during the seventh inning stretch now.
Right, and here's the funny thing, too. I'm not saying that there aren't patriotic people in this country. I'm not saying that anybody in this room, regardless of your political stance, isn't patriotic, right, and we don't love our country. What mm-hmm. I'm saying is that I think that there is what we see is a part of our normal culture day-to-day now with fake YouTube with fame, you know what I'm saying,
yeah,
and fake Twitter fame and things like that. I think that you had a real strong dose of that same style of fake smoke and mirrors media popularity on the whole patriotism thing, on this whole American thing, on life in general. And
right.
I think that it was inconsequential because after about 2 months, you stopped hearing it. You didn't
right.
see it. You know what I'm saying? And then on 4th of July, yeah, the next year, things popped up. On the one-year anniversary, things popped up and stuff like that. It's like only on the day that we remember 9/11 does anyone even care about all that stuff. But
right.
now you have, like, ever since Barack Obama, like, George Bush was president. I don't remember any of my friends who are neocons or conservatives at all jumping up and down, wearing American flag jackets, you know, making sure that America proud, number one, George Bush, yeah.
I disagree a little bit just in regards to, like, this welfare thing. Like, there's always a boogeyman. Like, in the 80s, it was affirmative action is going to make a black man take your job away. And then, you know, a few years ago, it was like they're going to build a Ground Zero victory mosque. And now it's these welfare people are all doing drugs, and we need to stop them. Even if we're spending $100,000 for every dollar we save, we need to stop. You know, it's all this group of others that are victimizing us.
Well,
the big
okay.
problem in America is massive income inequality.
Ladies and gentlemen, I learned this earlier this week. I was listening to another show by a gentleman by the name of Dan Carlin.
Okay.
And he's a podcaster. And he hosts a couple of shows. One's a political show. One's this thing called Hardcore History. Good show.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point of his show is that he breaks down specific sections of history that were never really, like, they were talked about maybe in passing or glossed over in the history books.
And what's it called again?
It's called Hardcore History. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he talks about in depth on one of his episodes is that at one time in our country, everybody was an imperialist mentality. Now, do you right. know what an imperialist mentality is? The idea of an imperialist is the fact that you go into an area that is undiscovered and uncharted, and you take it for yourself.
Yeah.
And whatever's there is your enemy.
If there's indigenous people, you, like, take them out.
Right. So, like, during the 1700s, okay, the United States was a young, small, colonized, 13 colonies type place.
Right.
We had a ton of Louisiana Purchase that hadn't been discovered yet. We had tons of the United States. So there was this real adventuresome, go-get-em type attitude. This imperialistic, let's go and take things and make them ours.
Right.
And we'll fight the American Indians to get it from them. And we'll fight mm-hmm. this person. We'll fight that person. Now,
this is going to be a long way back to welfare, isn't
all
it?
All we have, but no. This goes back to your point you were talking about,
okay,
why our mentality is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Once we got all the way through to California and we had settled Utah and Arizona and all the other countries in between from New York all the way to LA,
right,
you know what I'm saying? Like, there was nothing else for us to go and try to take. Mexico was its own country that had its own border. And Canada was its own country that had already had its own border. So in Europe for many, many years, you had the Crusades.
The Roman Empire.
The Roman Empire, where the Mongols, where they would literally go into areas. The enemy was whatever area they wanted to take and make their own. So they had wars with those people, and they'd come back, and they were proud, and they'd beat their chest, and they're, oh, I'm a Mongol. Or us, in that case, would have been, oh, wounded knee, I'm an American. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then when we didn't have anyone to fight against, we fought ourselves.
Right.
Because everybody's way over there, and all their countries are real close together, Africa and Europe and all that, you know, and they all can, like, run across thousands and thousands of acres of land all over that continent trying to fight each other. We don't have that because we're cool with the Canadians. We had some problems with the Mexicans, but they pretty much stay on their side of the border, so we had nowhere else to go.
Even when we moved that border.
Yeah, even when we moved that border, we had nowhere else to go. There was nothing to fight for. So you have this real imperialistic feel come World War I, and then eventually come World War II. We tried to isolate. We tried to stay out of those wars. Japan pulled us in with Pearl Harbor.
Right.
But we weren't against just fighting. The minute they pulled us in, it was like, everybody drop what you're doing. We need to go fight somebody. We got to fight. America, 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 patriotism, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? It cost thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people their lives. It was horrible. And my point is that this idea of why, what you said, you know,
cultural warfare,
this idea, we don't have anyone to fight against anymore.
Vietnam is
basic at play, though.
But now their idea of war isn't a real war. See, it's a proximity thing. You send the troops 4,000 miles away to the middle of Iraq. I don't see it. I don't touch it. I don't feel it. They're not bringing heads back on sticks 200 miles back to the Mongol camp. So I don't feel that patriotism. The only people that are affected by it are the ones over there actually fighting that stuff. Right. It's not a part of our culture. When they get off the plane here, they're not with their guns. They're not fighting anyone. They're not, you know, running around with blood all over their faces.
Right.
I mean, the Mongols, they would go 100 miles, take over an area, cut some people's heads off. They would walk back, no showers, no nothing. They'd come back, they'd be dingy, they'd be dirty, they'd be cut and bruised, they'd be hurt. Their people would rally around them. Oh, my God. My brother, he's got blood all over his face. He looks horrible. I battled four guys with a sword. You know what I'm saying? When you have that, you can get behind it.
There's something just more basic at play in our politics, though. Like, I don't think that's it politically. Like, I think in modern times, like, my opinion, though, is just if you look at the GOP cast of villains, the bad guys, you know, if you listen to your GOP politicians.
Who's their enemy?
The illegal immigrants.
Right.
The abortionists.
Right, things that don't matter.
The welfare recipients.
Let me ask
you. No. People who have no real power in our society.
Right, that's my point. Yeah. That's my point. When you have a real enemy.
The working poor on each other, but it's so there's...
Hey, do you think...
It's so we don't have class war.
Do you think
war.
In those Mongol camps there
How
was,
many times did the GOP say class war? They're
Justin,
declaring class war.
Do you
there's
feel...
There's been a class war going on since the 80s.
Justin, yeah, we get it. That's great. Listen.
You don't get it.
Do you? I totally get it. It's very simple to understand. You even said it was simple. Your theory was simple in play. That was your exact words. So
touche.
So come on, man. Listen, do you think that there were women who had abortions or what they considered abortions at the time during the Mongols? Yeah.
Yeah.
There were people that had babies that died or they tried to do things with sticks or whatever they did to try to kill the babies. They did. But they never turned on those people because they were too busy off 200 miles away cutting people's heads off on a tribe that was fighting
right.
them. Do you mm-hmm. see what I'm saying? Like that, they didn't focus on their like, oh, wow, that was weird. Serafina, you know, she had an abortion. Oh, really? That happened while I was away? Well, I cut these three dudes' heads off and I fought 500 others. Oh, my God, that's amazing. Like, well, are you okay? Like, they're not even worried about her. Now, when you have nothing else to fight for and you have nothing to worry about, you're like... Well, what's going on around here? Like, it's the dad who the kids never do anything wrong.
Right, right.
But he's that guy who always wants to have something going on in his house so that he has a way to assert his authority. Right. So he starts looking around for things and like, you know, the kid jumps off the bed and it's like smacks him across the back. Like, don't jump off the bed. Ah. The kid jumped off the bed one time. But he's never getting to assert authority because the kid never jumps off the bed. He never does anything wrong. He never talks back to him. He's a good kid.
Right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying?
So you think our society needs an external threat?
Every
political.
Hey, I said it last week on the show. You weren't here.
I agree with that, though.
Winston Churchill said it best. Never let a good crisis go to waste.
Yep.
Rahm Emanuel repeated those exact same words right before he left the president's cabinet.
And was chastised.
And it was chastised for it. And the truth is you never let a good crisis go to waste, right? When the towers come down, 3,000 people, that's massive. That's massive. We're not going to let that go to waste. No. We can't let that go to waste. They never let a good crisis go to waste, man. And they're not going to, especially now. So if the crisis is welfare people are using the system and tearing us apart financially, that's a crisis. They'll build it as big as they possibly can make it to get everybody all infuriated, and then they're going to just tear into them for no reason whatsoever.
Right.
Abortions, same idea. Does it really affect any... Like, okay, listen. I'm pro-choice. I get it. But listen, ladies and gentlemen. If let's just use this as an example. Let's say, Bobby, you have a sister? I'm sorry. You do? Do you sister?
Yeah, okay, I do that. I don't really know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say Bobby's sister decides to go and have an abortion. I'm just using it as a general hypothetical, okay? It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect Justin. Justin is still going to go serve Yuling or whatever the beer is, Yingling or whatever it is, okay? He's still going to, like, talk to people and show them his tattoo of his belt. At no point in his day, the day that that abortion happens, is he going to get on his phone and go, oh, my God, Bobby's sister had an abortion. Oh, I got to go talk to my wife. I got to talk to these people. I can't serve beers. Pass Blue Ribbon. It's not going to get served. Like, that won't happen.
But if politicians make that a moral crisis for me, maybe I won't notice them taking money out of my back pocket.
Even if it's a moral crisis, you won't notice. They won't care. You won't care. Because all you're going to care about is getting to work on time, serving your paps, and getting out of there. That's it, man.
But for a segment of our country, there are people who literally obsess about these issues because they
obsess so bad that when they go to a Halloween store.
Our society. But look, do you think the politicians really
believe that? They obsess so much that they go.
They're just not letting the crisis go to waste.
Hey, they obsess so much that when they go to a store, the only mask they have is the Barack Obama mask, air quotes, and that's the only one they can buy because no other mask would potentially at all be in stock except for that one.
Right.
And of course, we know why that one's in stock, air quotes again, right? No. Come on, guys. You're walking through the store. You see something that you know is going to, like, it's going to say some things. Okay. That's why you do it. I'm not knocking you. That's it. But you're going to create the issues that you want to create. We live in a world, ladies and gentlemen, where we create the problems we want to create. We make the people famous. Hey, they all talk crap on Miley Cyrus. They all talk crap on Nickelback. They all talk... Hey, listen. Those bands are successful and people like them specifically because evidently they do what they do good. Like, there's like, hey, if you didn't like Miley Cyrus's song, hey, listen, Rebecca Black's song Friday, I'm in love, they always, or the Friday song, they always said it was crap. Yet they will play it every single Friday on certain radio stations in town.
It's my ringtone every Friday.
That's my point.
Oh my goodness.
They just do that. Like, we will create and make the things popular that we want popular. We will create the crises that we're going to use to make things bad.
Right.
That's how we do it. So, if I know for a fact that there happens to be a section of people in the United States of America that happen to be African-American or ethnic in origin in general, and doesn't matter who they are, and I know that there's only 400 of them, and they all live in this one little section of St. Louis, you know what I'm saying? They all go to the same store, and they all got welfare stamps. I'm going to, like, say, look at what St. Louis does. I'm not going to say, hey, you know, that's a small ratio of the entire population. I'm going to say, oh, those represent all. Hey,
so
Justin, you're a liberal, right?
Yes.
In a conservative's eyes, you're a welfare-carrying idiot right now. You and your family just, like, food stamps all day long, and you're just using the system every time you turn around. That's how they believe. Travis Cook, that's how people like him, neocons and stuff like that, jingoists. I call them jingoists. You know what a jingoist is?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
A jingoist is an early 1900s term. For a person who was a severe nationalist, like a neocon, somebody who's all
xenophobic.
Xenophobic. They were all about they're totally about the flag and American nationalism and things like this. And it was always, hey, we have an enemy. You know, that's the problem with conservatives. And I bring it up on the show all the time. And I always say the sky's not falling because they're always trying to create the crisis. They're always trying to create the crisis.
Having dived pretty deep into this, you've taken us back to the 1800s, 1700s. Imperialism, manifest destiny. All that being said, is it worth it to test welfare recipients for drugs?
I don't think it hurts anything.
Besides the massive amounts of money being wasted either by the state.
Oh, really? That's your problem. That's your problem is the massive amounts of money that anything wastes in the United States of America, literally. Because just because that's a massive waste of money, there's 400 others that are too. Let's be honest.
I'm a pragmatist.
Of course you are. Yeah, when it serves your purpose, you are. Just like everybody else.
Generally, I am. Like, liberals just want things that work.
Yeah, that's true. They do. But I don't think that this doesn't work. I think that wasting the money on that,
what would be the problem,
is probably better than giving a bunch of big subsidies to a guy who makes $100 million a year as a CEO at some crap company.
But in Justin's question,
would you agree?
Why?
Not really.
Why would it not be okay?
You like giving subsidies to big companies?
It's a false dichotomy. It's a false choice.
You don't think that? No. That's an option, to give a subsidy to a company where the CEO makes $100 million for some crap thing that doesn't deserve that.
So you're saying if we don't either waste taxpayer money or put impossible hurdles in front of poor people, then we're just going to give tax subsidies?
You think that that's an impossible? It's pee onto a stick, man. And either you're positive or you're negative. Like, we're not, dude. This isn't like you got to run a 10-mile marathon. No, it's not
like you just talked about. Lab work is expensive.
It is expensive, but that's not like some huge hurdle. Like, we know that they're not going to pay for it. It's going to become a part of the system. The system's going to test them.
We
to
don't
make
know
sure.
that.
Okay.
Right. I mean, to be fair, neither one of us knows that.
Fair enough.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue. When we come back, more with Justin Deming, of course, Dymofo on Twitter.
And Instagram.
Myself, Mark Bland, and producer Bobby. We'll be back on the queue right after this. Check out thequeuenow.com. Welcome back to the queue, of course. Mark Bland, Justin Deming, and my main man, producer Bobby over there. We're doing all Michael Jackson comebacks today. All Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
All Michael Jackson.
Well, Michael Jackson's not going to come back.
He is definitely not going to be coming back.
Tupac did.
Elvis did.
Elvis.
All right. So anyway, listen, you're listening to us on 1420 WYNI, 1280 AM KYRO.
Also at tapdetroit.com.
And radiofubar.com, which, by the way, you can respectively go to those websites to their schedules, find out when they're replaying the queue, and listen to the show every single week. And now we are doing exactly what Justin wanted us to do. Uh-oh. Long, long ago, Justin's idea was, hey, why don't we just throw on the back end of the main show the overtime so the iTunes people can get it on the iTunes.
It's nice call, brilliant Justin. In its simplicity.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, please go to iTunes. Go to thequeuenow.com, click on the iTunes subscribe button that we have there. It'll take you to the iTunes page for the queue. Mm-hmm. And subscribe. Review the show. Let people know about the show, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Help us out. Those reviews help us become better at what we do. And we're pretty good at what we do already. We've been talking a lot about, jingoists, imperialists, welfare, and whether you should be drug tested for it and stuff like that. I got something special for you here, Justin.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Government sucks, right? Government sucks, right? Guys, let's be honest. You know,
it does.
Government's the problem.
I wouldn't say the government's the problem, but let's be honest. It's not the cleanest place to play, okay? Mm-hmm. We know this. No matter who's in power, it really isn't the cleanest place to play. There's a lot of backstabbing and a lot of bad things that go on in government. Okay,
right.
But why doesn't it run more like a business? Right? That's what they always say. Why doesn't it run more like a business? Why don't we let business run more of government? Huh?
Well, yeah.
Well,
that's
the
worked
good
out well.
The good idea.
I think they do.
The good news is we already do. Yes.
Mm.
The bad news is business sucks much worse. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Just released draft report by In the Public Interest, a nonprofit contracting watchdog, offers nationwide look into just how the push for privatization is screwing up everything from sick nuns to broken roads to beaten foster children. The full report, titled Out of Control, Justin, is available here at a link that is not here on my page, of course. But let me run through a couple of these for you, huh? I want to run through a few of these special interest groups that love privatization of business.
This could easily take some time.
So
I'm interested.
Grab your gas mask and arm, man, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Trilateral commission.
Here we go. Los Angeles County continually renewed its $3 million contract with a firm called Wings of Refuge to place foster children, despite numerous reports of kids going to abusive homes where they were beaten and locked away for days on end. So they just kept renewing that $3 million a year contract with your money, ladies and gentlemen. Privatized company. Here we go. Indiana hired IBM to run its food stamp and Medicaid programs, then bungled it and dumped thousands of residents from the rolls, including an elderly nun who was denied food stamps because she missed a recertification interview while hospitalized with cancer. Yay for private business and privatized insurance companies.
Maybe they gave her a drug test while she was there in the
hospital.
I'm
sure they did.
School, she failed.
School cafeteria workers in New Jersey saw their hourly wages cut by $4 to $6 an hour after their jobs were privatized. We use our personal sick days just to get paid so we can pay rent for the next month, was told to one of the investigators. Hmm. So there's that, yes. Also, there was the whole Chicago parking meters thing. That was just a couple of years ago. If you remember, there was a big debacle with the Chicago parking meters, how the money was just going places, and they didn't know where it was going. Denver contracted with a Portuguese company to run toll road for 99 years. That firm successfully prevented the construction of a free road nearby, signing its contract. The city is stuck unable to build new roads nearby for a century unless it richly compensates the toll road operators. So those private companies are just holding that city at bay. During the 2008 flood emergency in Indiana, tolls on turnpikes were suspended for travelers. The company running the toll road, citing its contract, billed state taxpayers $447,000 for lost revenue. And guess what? They got it. Oh, yeah. So basically, bad things happen, acts of God, because I can't make money during that time. Oh, you owe me still.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Listen, I'm a conservative business owner, and I love God. I go to church every single Sunday, and I understand. Like, do you know who one of the biggest proponents against conservatives would be if he existed right now? Was it still around? Jesus. Jesus would be against them. Do you know why? Because they already have their bannies in a bunch over the Pope. The new Pope doing all those great things. And
Francis.
The story just came out earlier this past week. That he, in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, will sneak out of the Vatican and go down to, like, the alleyways around the Vatican and stuff like that. And he will literally help the bums and the homeless and all those poor people.
Unconfirmed, but that's the speculation.
That is the speculation. But it doesn't surprise anybody. It doesn't surprise because from what everybody's being told, like, there are people who are, like, cardinals around him and archbishops that are looking at him and going, dude, what are you doing? Like, they came, and that's exactly what, so remember, Jesus was the one who would go to the lepers and cure them and help them. Remember, he's the one who would make fish appear for thousands of poor, desolate, hungry people so that they could all eat.
Lots of people believe that.
Yes. That is what Jesus did, ladies and gentlemen. Allegedly. And so, like, here's a guy who comes out of nowhere to do similar stuff. And it's, what are you doing? How dare you? Bill O'Reilly even did a little piece this past week. If we can find it, I'll play it for you. But Bill O'Reilly even did a little piece this past week where he complained about Pope Francis. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous. See if you can find that, Bobby. We'll play it on the show.
Great.
I just find this stuff absolutely amazing. That this stuff, Northwest Missouri State University forked over tons of taxpayer cash to contract out most of its food, vending, and bookstore services. Rather than open up the contract to bidders, it took contractors at higher rates who were willing to donate to the university's athletic funds specifically.
Well, and this doesn't even get into the privatizing the prison system, which has been going on for years and years and years. And you remember a few years back during the Bush years, there was this Pennsylvania judge who finally got sent to jail.
I don't know.
He was sending kids to juvie who weren't guilty of anything.
I don't know if privatizing,
because he got kickbacks.
Now, here's the thing. I don't know if privatizing the running of the prison systems doesn't sound like it would be that big of an issue, honestly.
Look into it.
Privatizing judges and politicians, that's one thing, because those people make the decisions that will send you to prison. But check this out. We all know that those conservatives tend to be a little scurrilous as people. They'll probably just stop feeding bad people and make those bad people die.
Or send more and more innocent people to prison. More things more severely.
That's if you privatize police officers in the police state style situation.
Well,
that's not
prison industrial complex.
Who cares if the... Okay, let's say... Stop.
This gets back to the article you're reading. To get a point on that before
stop,
we give
stop,
you...
Stop. Don't go any further. Let's say that there's a prison in Central... Marion, okay?
Let's say...
Marion is privatized, okay? Marion being privatized is not going to make more people come to it and illegally get put into prison. Marion doesn't have any control over the judicial system.
Mm, you Marion, should, I'm not saying that happened.
I'm not saying that it could happen, and there isn't maybe a case or two out of thousands.
Or a corrupt judge or a whole prison complex that lobbies for third strike laws and things like that that'll send more people to prison because they make money.
But they already do that without it being privatized. They already do that without the prisons being privatized. That's my point. Like, the prisons are privatized right now.
Oh.
There might be some that feel that way, like a Joe Arapaio or something like that.
No. I look into it. But the point, it makes the same point, is that there are things that the government should... What?
Travis, Justin.
No.
The sky is not falling. It's okay, buddy.
I didn't say the sky is falling.
It's not falling. It's
I'm not coming out with stuff not everybody, that's not backed up by facts.
Not everybody is out to get you. It's okay. Calm down.
Oh, my goodness. Actually, you're the one that's reading this article.
I am reading this article.
About, you know, when we privatize government, how when we contract out, how poorly it goes.
You got that?
I make the same point, and then you contradict it. I don't get that.
You don't get life right now. I don't understand. What do you mean I'm contradicting it? No.
I'm saying something that supports your point.
There are... Listen.
About when we contract out...
This goes back... See, this goes back to the difference between... Full conservative, full liberal, or being a moderate, the best of both worlds, a hybrid like me.
Oh my goodness, the best of both worlds.
There are certain things, hold on. There are certain things in this world that probably would be better handled in a socialistic style way. I'm not saying socialism. I said socialistic style way. There are some things in this world that would probably be better handled privately, under privatized businesses. That's the truth. Because there is no thing that says everything liberals do is right. And everything conservatives do is right.
Again,
there's nothing.
Pragmatism. It's about what works. And what this
not
article is about.
Not everything the liberals do works. And
what
not
this
every
article
single thing
is
conservatives
actually
do works.
About is that there are things that aren't inspired by the profit motive. And when you start contracting out companies to do
we're
it for
talking
profit
about
motive,
some really
the corners
specific
they
things.
Cut
right.
affect people.
But you brought
affect
up.
Affect those children. Yeah, but we're, affect those prisoners. Affect the roads. Affect everything. Because they are creating profit. They're creating value
by
shortchanging the people they service.
It's listen. These things right here are specific, egregious examples of taxpayer money being abused by privatized businesses that have contracts with the government. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. Specific things. Okay? Mm-hmm. But you brought up prisons. And prisons, no matter how much you want it to be a bad thing, there are bad people in the world. And they need to go to a place for bad things because they shouldn't be allowed to have the same freedom Justin has. That's not right. You went into somebody's house and shot them and killed them. You don't deserve to walk around on the street if you did that on purpose in a negligent way or an on purpose way to hurt somebody. And Justin should agree with that. Like, Justin, if you defend that person because you're like, oh, well, I just don't think that. No, that's not right, man. Because if somebody walked into your house and killed your wife in a negligent or disrespectful manner, on purpose and murder her.
Well, as long as they murdered my wife respectfully. I mean, no, but the point is,
you would have a problem with that person.
Well, you can look at the fact we incarcerate people at a rate not found elsewhere in the industrial world.
Oh, yes, we are by far the largest industrial incarcerators of this entire world.
I don't think that's happenstance. And I think, you know, to your point of people taking
or do we just have more bad people because we have more freedoms? Has anybody ever thought about that, ladies and gentlemen? Like, I'm not trying to knock Justin's idea. Has anybody thought that because we don't have dictatorships in this country, we don't have some of the things that keep all those people in China in check, like communism and certain things like that, where they use the military to effectively stop people from just even having a life, basically? We have a lot of freedoms here. You want to get tatted with whatever you want? Go ahead, do it. You want to work at this place? Go ahead and do it. You want to do this? Short of murder, stealing, or being a bad person immorally on purpose, you can pretty much do whatever you want here in the United States. And we don't have enough police that are literally patrolling everyone at all times to stop some of those people that decide to step that boundary line. Some egregiously step that boundary line and go way overboard and kill 10 people.
I do agree
some
with you.
Some people accidentally murder somebody because they were drunk and they had a DUI situation.
I do agree with you in a stance on that because in countries like China, if you're caught stealing, you get a finger cut off.
Right. We don't do that stuff here. Like, we don't do anything that is deterring here. We really don't. And I'm not sitting there saying, hey, we need to have public street hangings. But let me tell you something. Back in the late 1800s, when they still did public hangings.
Dude, the did dad.
A 10-year-old kid saw a person hanging from a rope. That changed his life. Like, I don't want that to happen to me. That's bad. That right. That was horrible. And the moms would explain that, like, that will happen to you. And, like,
I think they were still doing that in the South more
but
recently
we don't,
in our history.
But we don't. Either, you know, but that was, yeah, but that was on a different tip. Scale. That was on a different tip. I'm talking about just in general. We would do public hangings in the middle of the street. We don't do that anymore. The people don't walk out into the streets and just fire at each other agreeably like they did in the old Wild West to, like, settle their differences. And so when a kid sees another guy get his head shot off by a faster gunslinger because these guys got in an argument in a bar, that sticks with you for the rest of your life. These kids and us, mm-hmm. the three guys here, we didn't incur any of that. We didn't see any of that as we were growing up at all.
People are very, I guess the easiest way to put it is very wussified or pussified in this country.
Potentially, but the problem is, Bobby, is that, you know, nowadays we have YouTube to show us really mean things in liveleak.com and things like that, where we will see crazy stuff that
we
in
will see a reporter get his head cut off.
Right. In 1987, we never saw that. Like, me and Justin and you never saw that stuff. That wasn't on the news. They didn't show that stuff. Now, you don't need the news. I want to see something bad. I want to see somebody get anally raped, and I'm not trying to, like, make light of it. You can go find that. You can see that, and then you can go, oh, my God, that's horrible. I never want to see that again. And it will literally change your mind of things. You know, back in the day, Faces of Death was the biggest deal because, yeah, that was the only place you saw crap like that, and that was even fake.
To an extent, I understand what you're saying. But also, in countries, and I hate to keep using this country, but in China, they have restrictions on what you can view. So they don't have the ability to go to YouTube and watch someone get their head cut off. And then that kid...
Well, thank goodness we have that.
But that kid that kid now turns around and actually, in most cases, sees that, and we don't know what's going on logically in someone's head. That triggers something, and they now want to go and do this.
Mm. Right. I mean,
no offense, but that's based on what exactly that people see? Because people play violent video games. They see violent things. They see
Correct.
Lots of people
but
saw that gross footage.
There are some
murderers. I don't
murderers.
Think it causes people to turn around. I don't think anyone murders
listen,
anyone.
There
saw
are
gross
some
video
murderers
online.
That have
hold
been
hold on.
That
we're,
have
going down
said
a, we're going down a road that Justin wants to go down. I can tell it. All right. I can see it on his face. He wants to play the pro-gun game. He wants to play the gun, anti-gun, pro-gun game. Listen, I'm pro-gun.
How are we getting into guns?
Hold on. We're talking about murders and stuff like that. We're talking. Okay, go ahead.
Let me bring together 2 points, though. We talked about welfare earlier, and it's like, who wants to stand
you
up?
Really?
Who wants to stand up
welfare?
For? Who wants to stand up for welfare druggies? We're talking about prisons and how people are using the prison industrial complex. And you're like, oh, well, prisoners are bad people. So who wants to stand up for prisoners? And you can roll back segment of society one after another. But it gets back to my point. These are powerless things. No one's going to notice.
You
our
think that they're
back.
Okay, first off, what's
prisoners,
the point?
What power do prisoners have?
Stop.
They can't even vote.
Stop. First off,
what power do welfare recipients
have? What's the point of
have?
A start where you need to start. If you want to argue with me, if you want to go toe-to-toe with the Mark Bland,
okay?
You want to go with at Mark Bland on Twitter? You want to go toe-to-toe with me, Dymofo? That's fine. I love you. That's why.
Dymofo?
On Twitter?
On Twitter and Instagram.
Now, listen. Now, I understand, you know, you and me don't always see eye to eye. And I get it. I respect that. You know, I'm a moderate. You're a hardcore liberal. I get that. Okay. Now, you want to go toe-to-toe with me? Let's start where it starts. What's the point of a prison? What is the point, the physical point and reason why a prison exists in general?
To incarcerate prisoners?
To incarcerate prisoners. And why do prisoners get to go there? How do you get to prison?
Because you're convicted of a crime.
Of a crime. And a crime is what? Is it a bad thing or a good thing? Are crimes? Those are bad things. Okay, mm-hmm. So bad people do bad things, and they go to a place that is housing bad people against their will, specifically for the fact that they did bad things. Now, you want to, like, section out a 1% or 0.05% of the entire prison population that might be on death row, but not guilty, truthfully, or might have got sent for, you know, a couple sacks of weed or something like that, and they ended up getting a life sentence type thing. And I get that. I understand. But the majority of people in prison did bad things, and they know they did bad things.
The cover of your favorite weekly, the Riverfront Times, this week,
I do love
talks
RFT,
about
baby.
A man in Missouri doing a life sentence for marijuana.
Yes.
Because of a mandatory minimum sentencing.
Really?
I actually have a question here. I have a question. Hold on. No. I have a question here that was sent from a listener.
Okay.
And it was one of our, you know, questions and stuff, right?
Well, Just, okay, hold on. I'll just sum it up in a sense. I agree with the idea.
I'm going to ask you the question. I want you to answer.
Contracting everything out to private companies is not a good idea.
We only got a few more minutes left here in this segment. Hold on.
Disagree with it now.
I'm not disagreeing with it. If a person is sent to a prison for a crime in the past, but now laws criminalizing the act are rescinded, would it be right for the person to serve out their term, or should their sentence be revisited and reevaluated based on the laws today?
Revisited.
And that's basically what this individual that you're talking about is dealing with. He mm-hmm. went quite a few years ago. He was busted on a pot situation, on marijuana. And at the time, they hit him with a hardcore mandatory sentence of, I think, life in prison or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it the death sentence? Did he get the death?
No, he has life in prison.
He has life in prison. And it was on some stuff that now, in 2013, the laws have been changed.
Right.
Hardcore. That mm-hmm. anybody caught with what he was caught with, yeah, they would have got hit on the wrist, but they would have done like 5 years, maybe six tops, right. type thing. Like, but he's still in prison for life.
Well, could you equate that to those situations where people have been accused of murder, but now there's DNA testing that goes back and proves that they...
I think that if they have you, like, listen, they got the video of you walking to the 7-Eleven and blowing the person's head off. You can sit there and try to claim, I want to have a retrial, DNA, all you want, but we got a video of you. Is that you?
Yep. But is that the situation he's talking about?
No.
Like, one of the main situations...
If there are certain people that do require DNA testing, I would say, yeah, do it. Let them try. Like, if you had a trial that was kind of like one of those close calls,
skewed, yeah.
You know, it was like a 5-4 victory on the trial and you got sent to life in prison on some stuff. Yeah, I would say, and you say that you claim, honestly, hey, they have DNA and this, that, and the other testing now, and the stuff that my case had, they can do DNA testing on it. Test it. What's the harm in testing? What's the harm in testing the welfare recipient for drugs? What's the harm in testing these things out fully?
I've talked about the harm in that.
But what is the harm? Well, it's taxpayer money to test out this guy in prison. It's taxpayer money.
Technically, yes.
Yeah, it's taxpayer money, man. It just costs so much money.
It's also taxpayer money to incarcerate him.
Of course it is. And I think that that's ridiculous. My biggest problem that I have with incarceration is the death row thing. I have a problem with you getting to appeal 42 times over a 15 to 20 year period when they have you dead to rights on video or whatever, literally killing these people. Or you have a Jeffrey Dahmer who's like, yeah, I killed 27 kids, raped them and killed them. Like, and you want to leave him in jail for 10 years? Why? Why do you have to leave him in jail for 10 years? He admitted to it. He said he did it. Give him 2 weeks to finalize all his business up with so-and-so or whoever it is and put a bullet in his head and call it a day. Move on. He admitted to it. He said that it was his thing. He shouldn't have to. He did have his trial by jury. He had his right to go in front of a jury of his peers. They gave him the trial. He lost because he admitted to it. That's it.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we stick a pin in this? I'd like everyone to go on their Netflix streaming, watch a movie called The Thin Blue Line.
The Thin Blue Line.
A documentary. And we'll revisit thoughts on
Game on The Thin Blue Line.
Judicial.
Game on.
Hey, game on.
I'm just saying, I think it's one of those things where certain situations are dead to rights things. And those people, like, I get it. You were drunk, manslaughter, involuntary. You go to jail for, you know, 50 years or something like that. Okay, you made a mistake. Like, you didn't inherently, before that time period, go out of your way with a gun or with a knife or with some type of a metal object or anything to kill somebody on purposely. You just made a mistake one night. You went to the bar or whatever. You had too many. You jumped into a car. You were driving. Somebody was walking their dog, and you just fell asleep while you were at the wheel because you were drunk, and you hit them and killed them. I get it. You're not a person who's inherently bad. But at the same point, like, you're going to have to pay for that because you killed a human being. And you knew it's not right to drink and drive. Like, so, yeah, we have laws. We have rules. And those rules basically say what you can and can't do or what you should and shouldn't do. And we all understand right and wrong. So if you understand right and wrong and you make a bad decision, there are certain consequences that come along with that. You're going to have to accept those consequences. Now, if there's someone who truly believes that they were unjustly put into prison or something, and we have the ability now, or we have a law that has changed, I say appeal that situation, give them their appeal and give them their shot. And on this pot situation with the Riverfront Times, the guy and all that, I think that he should totally get his, like, at this point, for what he did, he's already spent 15 or 20 more years than he had to in prison. I say, let him go immediately. Call it a day. Because other people would have to serve less time.
I know we're getting ready to hit a break, but what about the people who were wrongfully accused and spent 10, 15, 20 years in prison Should they be compensated for that?
Well, we'll talk about that when we come back on The Q. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The Q. Check out theqnow.com. We'll be back on the show right after this.
You're listening to The Q with Mark Bland and producer Bobby. Check us out online at theqnow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q, of course. My name is Mark Bland, joined today by Justin Dimo, Bo Deming, as well as my main man, Robert, producer Bobby Hickman.
Yeah.
And we're having a great time bringing you guys back with all Michael Jackson today. It's all Michael Jackson, all Rhapsody, all the time.
Celebrate the king of pop,
and
baby.
Of course, we're here by ourselves at the station, and producer Bobby just gets freaked out, wigged out. I mean, literally, he almost ran poor Justin over, trying to get out of there, and then he starts screaming about Molly Crenshaw. Because of when we did the ghost hunt thing?
Yeah, I swear I saw a person in a black shirt walk by. We have a studio window. Walk by our studio window, but no one else saw them, and I went walking around our building here. Can't find anyone. No
producer one. Bobby, ghost hunter.
Producer Bobby, ghost hunter extraordinaire. All right, well, fair enough, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Q. And we're in the middle. Bobby had a great question.
Yeah.
Right before we went to break, Bobby broke out this amazing question. And go ahead and ask your question again.
So the question is, you know, we were talking about all the testing and if a law changes. My question is, if someone has been wrongfully incarcerated,
right,
should they be compensated for those years, potentially 15, 20, whoever?
I don't know how that should be handled. I mean, obviously, that's a very gray area.
The main reason that this came to mind is because there's a kid who now plays for the Atlanta Falcons who was wrongfully accused of raping a girl in his high school. He was not allowed to go play college football at University of Southern California or anything. He was in prison for 5 years.
Was he good enough to play in the pros?
He's playing for the Atlanta Falcons.
He is playing currently for the Atlanta Falcons. So that worked out pretty good for
him. Yes, but he was in prison for 5 years because this girl accused him of rape. And then the trial, you know,
right,
found
him guilty.
Right,
it took 2 years away from his money.
But eventually she turned around and said, I lied.
Okay. Well, I think that it could be one of two things. It could be we'll give you an either or option here.
Okay.
You lied on trial under oath.
Right.
You go to jail.
There's a word for that. Perjury.
Perjury. You go to jail, and we'll call it even. She goes to jail for that. And
right.
She's going to spend, you know, the next 5, 10, whatever years in jail.
Right.
Or she stays out of jail for lying, which is perjury. It's a bad thing.
Right.
And we'll compensate you. Like, give him an option, you know, either or.
Yeah, there's another story where a gentleman was in prison for, I think, 25 years.
I mean, an eye for an eye, is
there,
that okay?
There are a lot of stories like that.
He was in prison for 25 years.
There are a lot of...
For a murder that he did not commit.
Right.
There are organizations like the DNA Project and things like that.
And that's horrible. That's horrible when that happens to people. Okay, Bobby, you said you had a story for us that you keep wanting to talk to us about.
All right,
go ahead,
Mark likes to rant. Well, I've got a big rant that really is on my nerves.
Okay.
And right. It goes a little something like this. 5 former Kansas City Chiefs players who were on the team between the years of 1987 and 1993 have filed a lawsuit claiming that the team hid and even lied about the risks of head injuries during the NFL.
Stop it.
Here's what pisses me off with this.
Stop it.
Because you know, okay, I have 2 daughters. I know if they go and play soccer, softball, I even know as if they go and do cheerleading, that there are risks.
There's an inherent risk that comes
with
all
risks.
These things.
I played baseball at my will, and my parents allowed me to play at their will.
And 90 feet away from you, a baseball could come flying 200 miles an hour off a bat.
Hit me in the head.
Yep.
Now, there have been lawsuits by parents who have allowed their kids to play baseball, and then the ball has been hit by the bat, and the ball has struck the child in the head. That is a risk. You know, going into this sport, that is a potential, especially if your kid is a pitcher. You know this is potentially going to happen. So now there are restrictions. There's no longer a BESR certification on a bat. It's a BB core, which allows a bat to not be as powerful, I guess you could say, used to be. But these NFL players, when they signed up to play
when you get to the level,
football, when they signed that $20 million contract, you know potentially there's damages that could happen to your body. So how are you going to turn around and sue someone claiming that you did not know the risks of playing this sport?
I completely agree with you. I can't see a problem with your argument whatsoever. Like, it just comes with the territory. You know, hey, Justin, you work at a bar, right? You serve alcohol. You don't know every single person that comes into that bar. A guy could come in who's got a very violent past, and the thing that triggers his extremely violent side of him is when he drinks.
Right.
And Justin doesn't know that. He has no clue. But Justin's a good bartender, and he helps people out. So, like, they come there to get served alcohol. He serves them. Four or five beers in, this dude triggers. And he decides to literally go to his car, come in with a gun because of his violent side that triggers with alcohol, right, and just shoot and kill Justin.
I don't like this hypothetical.
Of course you don't like the hypothetical. But stuff like that happens. He knows that there's an inherent risk because alcohol has a tendency to make a lot of people alter the way that they act as people. It's whether that's for the better or for the worse. Yeah, it's a mood-altering thing. He understands that.
Here's the biggest aspect of this whole thing is how are these guys... There's a lawsuit right now. Besides these five Chief players, there's a lawsuit in the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. 57, I believe it's 57 or 67, NFL former NFL players are suing the entire league...
For
post-traumatic stress, for trauma to the brain, for... potential injuries that have been caused by the sport.
Now, see, that's an interesting. I know background. I know some background on this. And the funny thing about that situation is their argument primarily is not the fact that they didn't understand the inherent risks that were involved in the playing of football. Their problem that they're having is that the NFL Players Association and the pension fund and all that, when they're having some of the issues that they're having now from those inherent risks that they took on their own,
right?
Those guys aren't there to have their back and help them financially in other ways. Like, some of these people are like literally broken down human beings that, you know, are just looking for certain things that they were kind of guaranteed in the past to come to fruition, and they're not becoming to fruition. So they lay all that together.
Also, you're conflating two different things. I feel like this lawsuit that they have it's not about they were injured playing football. It's not about a random baseball to the head. It's about
egregious about the risks during the playing period.
Yeah, it's about that, because the NFL has systematically tried to debate or shut down any research into the concussions, into the, you know, we're only getting this in recent years,
Justin,
because of people who have been pursuing it, like professional wrestler Chris Nowalski with Harvard.
Yep.
To the point, ESPN pulled out of a documentary on this they were doing with PBS. ESPN pulled out under pressure from the NFL because they are finding out it's not just from, you know, sudden impacts. It can be accumulative for all that. In their lawsuit, you know, it'll go before a court of law, but it's not just about someone fell on their head and they knew there were risks to it. It's about the NFL has specifically tried to avoid any research into concussions. They've been misleading about the safety of helmets and other things.
Okay, so Justin,
they might have a case. They might not.
Okay, let's play the game. Let's go down the alley for Justin's sake on this, okay? Let's say they go to trial and they go, oh my God, NFL, you have known about concussions for years and you did this against the better judgment of your players and this, that, and the other. Blah, 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 blah. All to the benefit of what you just said. Mm-hmm. Everything is 100% correct, Nowinski and all of it, okay? Mm-hmm. What do you think they're going to do? Do you think that they're going to go, well, it's time to shut the NFL down? Nope, that won't happen. Do you think the NFL is just going to sit there and go, oh, well, yeah, you can dictate things? No, they're going to say, we're a privatized company. We're a privatized organization. You can't dictate how we handle our business. You can tax us, which we pay our taxes every year.
Right.
And you can do this and you can do that. But you can't dictate how we run our business. And these people come into the situation knowing off the top, it's a dangerous sport, period. It's not a gloss. Literally, it's a dangerous sport. Whether that's Christopher Nowinski's concussions that he always talks about, whether that's potentially femur breaks, whether that's the fact that you could do two-a-days and get like a heart attack like the Minnesota Vikings guy did a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's an inherently bad sport, guys. And you're grown men. Do you want to make this amount of money? You choose whether you sign that dotted line. If you choose not to, that's fine. We're not forced to. No one's got a gun to any of their heads.
Right, exactly. And that's
nobody's got a gun to a WWE guy's head. Nobody. Not to Davey Boy Smith, who's broken down. No, none of them.
I just resent this idea, this tough man, macho BS about like, oh, they knew there were risks. They obviously may not have known the specific risk. And if there's a lawsuit, the NFL might have known things.
But see, no, here's the thing.
And you make all these analogies about a stray ball hitting someone in the head, which don't really relate.
Justin, if you hit
your head against, it does relate though.
If you beat your head against that wall every single day for a year, and after a year of doing that every single day, 10 to 15 times a day, all of a sudden, like a year from now, you started getting massive headaches, you would probably, on a very general understanding, go, well, I do hit my head against the wall every day 10 times. And now, a year ago, I wasn't getting headaches. Now I get headaches that are really, really bad. You would probably stop yourself. Like, you literally are smart enough to do that. Are we supposed to, and I'm not defending one side or the other, I'm playing devil's advocate,
the NFL,
are we supposed to claim that people are too stupid to understand simple logic? Don't touch the hot stove. It's hot. Oh, I touched it anyway. It's your fault I touched it. No, I told you not to. Don't do it.
But you're also...
So your argument is no one should play football?
Dude. These guys have been playing since they were kids. Before an NFL owner guy ever got involved, before a college coach ever got involved. They were hitting each other in the head over and over.
I think the NFL's big fear is that if research comes out that football is dangerous and mothers stop letting their kids
play, it is dangerous. We
know
that.
The game's over.
But that's the problem. Their argument is that.
Out now.
That's the problem. Everybody already knows that it's dangerous because you don't play football, Justin, but you know that football's dangerous. Christopher Nowitzki did play football. He knows it's dangerous. Like, it's common knowledge.
No,
so now people want to argue.
We are only finding out in recent years. A few years ago in pro wrestling, they were still doing angles about concussions. They don't do that anymore because that's we now understand through the science that's really irresponsible. And
well,
that's just in recent years.
But also, these players played from 1987 to 1993. They were just beginning to do the research that you're talking about. No, the NFL at this time had a very small knowledge of whether or not they had the concussion
potentially
symptoms.
maybe not. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying let this play out a little bit.
Yeah, I would let it play out. Definitely have to let that one play out. All right, guys. Well, you know, we have a new section on the show that we like to call Game On, Game Off.
Game On, Game Off, baby.
Are you a part of this?
I'm in.
Do you know you're in? You're definitely in. Basically, we try to hip you guys to new cool things, one way or the other, in some form or fashion. And, you know, it's actually gotten a lot of applause from the fan base out there that listens to the show every week, which we appreciate every single one of you. Tell a friend, a family member, you know, help us keep this pirate ship floating. Just tell somebody. Let them know about the queue. This week, we're going to start off with Bobby.
Cool.
Bobby, game on. What's your game on?
My game on is something, or is an artist by the name of Kyle Lambert.
Do you have Kyle Lambert's?
Yes, I can show you something.
Yeah, if you want to.
Kyle Lambert.
Bring that bad boy up right there and I'll...
Actually, I'm going to flip it around so you can see this.
Okay.
Kyle Lambert uses an iPad and it's something called iPad Art.
Okay.
And he uses a system called Procreate.
Okay.
And Kyle Lambert, this is what you're hearing the audio, but if you go to YouTube, type in iPad Art Morgan Freeman, you're going to see Kyle Lambert start a painting and complete a painting of Morgan Freeman.
Now, is this is your game on Kyle Lambert or is your game on iPad Art?
No, it's Kyle Lambert because I've looked at quite a few of his videos and they show
him. Just think this guy's a talented artist.
He's incredible. And he started as just a regular painter, but then he bought an iPad Air and then developed into what he is now. And it's incredible what
and
he does.
It's digital.
It's all digital.
And that is... Now, that looks like paint right now. It looks like it's a painted face.
Yeah.
But it is getting a lot cleaner.
I wish...
That's almost becoming picture quality.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
That's incredible. This is all paint strokes?
That's all paint strokes.
50,000
paint strokes. That looks like a regular picture of Morgan Freeman. That does not look like it was painted at all.
50,000 paint strokes on an iPad Air.
Wow.
Created Morgan Freeman.
I wish I did a good Morgan Freeman impression.
All right, fair enough. Kyle Lambert.
My game off essentially is...
Not iPad Art. Just don't...
Pablo Picasso. Get off Picasso.
Get off of Picasso. Yeah, listen. We don't... Stop talking about... Game off.
Game off.
Pablo Picasso?
Pablo Picasso.
Really?
Why is
get
that?
On Game on.
Why couldn't you just be on both?
You could be on
both. Is there somebody running around who's just like, listen, I hate Kyle Lambert. Pablo Picasso's the man. Who's doing that? Is there someone doing it? There's no one doing that, dude. Why do you? Why, you his game off. Listen.
He's like, that clock's listen, not really
remember
melting.
Remember when we had Jensen Karp on the show for the Get Up On, Get Up Off episode that we did, okay? He had a great Get Up On and Get Up Off, okay?
He did.
So when we start doing something in down the same vein, but we don't go into the detail that they do, and those and we admit it. We're not like sitting here trying to steal anything or anything like that. His game offs are horrible.
Okay.
His game offs ever since have been just literally like his game on was like, hey,
disrespect.
Yeah. Hey, no,
game
yeah.
off disrespect.
Game off disrespect. Game on respect. Like, I'm just like, what?
That's like Macklemore. Like, hey, racism is bad, you guys.
Game off every hey. Shia LaBeouf movie except for...
Game off homophobia.
Okay, so what's your game off now?
My game off is everything else painting-wise right now. I like this Kyle Lambert guy.
If you're still painting with paint. Producer
you
Bobby
need to
hates
find.
You.
Listen.
Game
if,
off,
if you
game off,
if you did not buy an iPad at Radio Shack from Producer Bob,
here, listen. Goodness. Hold on. Your game off should be something like some old guy who's 85 years old came in with like the old school 1980s like big battery hearing aid and be like, game off old ancient hearing aids, get on some new stuff. That's what your thing should be. Like, not game off Pablo Picasso and people who paint,
but
who aren't Kyle Lambert. Really?
But I like Kyle Lambert.
Fair enough.
And I don't
Fair
like
enough.
Picasso now.
I'm going to actually hit you guys with a true game on. Actually, let's do Justin next. Justin, go ahead. Game on.
Game on. Let's do the Sriracha Vodka.
What is this?
Sriracha!
What is this?
All right. Now, Sriracha is a garlic hot sauce.
Okay.
Traditionally used for Asian.
It's a garlic hot sauce.
It's when I was introduced to it.
It makes a great Thai beef salad.
I was introduced to it in Vietnamese restaurants in
I like
the South
ginger.
Grand area
I like
of
ginger.
St. Louis.
Ginger sauce.
And I was told this stuff is like Vietnamese ketchup.
Okay.
And it's a red hot sauce. It's bright red.
How hot is it?
Naturally colored.
Yeah, naturally.
Compared to like a Frank's Red Hot. How hot is
hotter.
It? It's hotter than
I think.
It has a little spiciness. It's a nice like back of the throat heat.
It'll
it's,
leave a little
it's
on,
not,
your, on your tongue.
Yeah, yeah. But to me, like I love spicy stuff, and the point of it isn't really how hot it is. It's very flavorful, and it's a unique flavor that goes well with Asian dishes. So I've been enjoying the stuff dozens
years,
whatever.
Yeah.
It's kind of become a thing. I think it might be, I dare say, a hipster thing now.
It
sriracha.
Is kind of a hipster.
It's getting a cult following.
Yeah, there's restaurants making sandwiches with it now. And
yeah, you know how dumb people use bacon as a meme?
Whoa.
It's kind of becoming...
Sriracha bacon might be... So anyway, there's
it's
a vodka.
It's kind of becoming
sriracha
the hipster
okay.
meme.
So UV
so
has
now,
a vodka.
UV has released a sriracha vodka. And now... Normally, let's get this out of the way. UV vodka is normally garbage.
Okay.
It's about as subtle as Kool-Aid. It's all artificially flavored. It's all full of food coloring, so their grape is bright purple.
Right,
and their
I get
blue
it.
Is bright blue.
Yeah,
and
I get it.
The sriracha vodka, it's in a red bottle, but the vodka itself is actually clear, and it's naturally flavored. And I've had the chance to have some, and it's good.
It's good. So
I'm not going to say it's the most fantastic vodka in the world, but it's good. It's not overly spicy. So you don't have to be like
so
a
so you want
a
game
maniac.
On Sweet. Sriracha
game on UV Sriracha Vodka.
What's you your game off?
Every other vodka.
Every other vodka. Game off every other vodka.
Game off Pablo Picasso. No,
wow. All right.
No,
well, Pablo Picasso hate, I see.
No, Sweet. I love surrealism and impressionism or
right.
whatever
what's,
it is.
I think you're just
your
making
off?
Up words now.
Oh, you stop. All right, game off. Let's see. Game off sharing things on Facebook that say... It's a shame that 95% of people don't care about this sick kid with cancer, or most people won't share about this military veteran, or you know what? Stop shaming me into sharing a picture.
Stop creating a crisis that doesn't exist.
Stop it. Just stop it. You
Fair
don't
enough.
Look like a good person for sharing these things. Oh, 97% of people don't care enough about military. Just, hey, it's Facebook. That is, you know what, my game off? Slacktivism.
Slacktivism. I love it.
I'm going to let that stand on its own.
Slacktivism.
Slacktivism.
Slacktivism. New word. We created
nice
it here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, my game on is a group, a music group by the name of Straight No Chaser.
Oh, I love these guys.
Straight No Chaser.
Yeah!
Dude, they're in the same vein as like a
Producer
Glee a acapella style group, and they've actually done really well for themselves on the Christmas side of things. Bobby is way too excited about Straight No Chaser. You have to get on their Xmas music because that's where it's at. Their Christmas music.
On the first day of Christmas, might you look into me, a partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me,
I love you for this,
two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fourth day of Christmas, the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, five golden rings, four calling
three
birds,
French
two
hens,
turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the ninth day of Christmas,
on my true love gave to me,
Christmas, my true love gave to me,
eight, and seven,
nine,
and six,
nine,
and five.
You better not shout, you better not cry,
you better not in a pear tree.
On the ninth,
on the eighth, on the
seventh,
the halls with bells on holly.
So as you can see, these guys are very entertaining. It's an a cappella group called Straight No Chaser. They have a bunch of CDs that have been coming out since the mid-2000s, aughts, during the aughts.
Yeah, they originally used to be an a cappella group for Indiana University, and it's kind of a fraternity, and they continuously pass it down.
Now, right. Now your game off better be rockapella.
Actually, my game off is all babies are not cute. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen. I actually am going to save the rest of the game off. The game off is not all babies are cute, okay? But
game
there's
off,
a specific
babies.
Reason why I am saving that for overtime. So after the show's over, as soon as the exit song finishes, we will start into the beginnings of overtime. And so that's an extra 10 to 15 minutes only for you people who downloaded off iTunes, off our website, whatever.
TheQNow.com.
That's right. So you could do it. And you'll see why my game off is not all babies are cute, because I have a specific letter that was sent to me.
Oh,
I was asked
boy.
To do something specifically.
Sweet.
So
oh,
we are going boy. To do that on the overtime because it gets a little racy.
Does that
a little
mean
racy.
We're out of time for our listeners on KYRO
well,
or WINI?
By the way, we haven't really talked about it here on the show. I started the show off with it, and I will talk about it a little bit on overtime. But Paul Walker, the actor from The Fast and the Furious, passed away in a car accident this past week. Really big fan. I love the movie Joyride that he was in. I hope he rests in peace. I feel horrible for his family. You know, a young guy like that
left
who's talented.
Behind a 15-year-old
he's not
daughter.
One of the. He's not your Miley Cyruses and your Kim Kardashians. He's not. He wasn't trying to put himself out there to be this douchey famous person. You know
right,
what I'm
you know
saying?
What? Too sad, too serious.
That's right. Too sad, too serious. Ladies and gentlemen,
can't
it's time for us to get out of here on the queue. The main show, 12:08 a.m. KYRO, 1420 WINI. I want to thank you guys so much. Also, Justin Deming, thank you so much for listening to all of our banter on game ons and game offs and everything else. Thanks for joining us. Check him out on Twitter at Dymofo, DEYEMOFO on Twitter.
And Instagram.
Also, producer Bobby, thank you so much once again.
Absolutely.
Also, don't forget to donate. Keep helping the show going. And we're set for a monumental race against Mike Parcells. Okay?
Okay.
General manager of 1420 WINI, December 17th. Little Bobby's coming with me to DeCoin, Illinois. Hopefully Justin's going to be there. We're going to try to get the Kaz to come too.
Yeah.
We're going to put it down. I'm taking the Patriot Cut and bringing it back to St. Louis area. That's all there is to it, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to do it for us here on The Queue. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you guys next time on the show.
You done say the silly things and the Bella Dana Dane. Why you cuffed and claimed the thing? Hey, my main thing got my last name. Yada, main.
Let me just step right in, I got things to invent. I'm an innovator, baby, change the world. Fortune 500 before you kiss the girl. I'm a pink, you're a nerd, I'm slick, you're cheesy. Beating you is Apple too easy. I make the product that the artist chooses, and the GUI that Melinda uses. I need to bring up some basic shit. Why'd you name your company after you're dead?
Blow jobs, you arrogant prick. With your secondhand jeans and your turtleneck, I'll drill a hole in the middle of your bony head. With your own little spinner, big ball of death. Can't be, you got given up at birth. I give away your net worth to AIDS research. Combine all your little toys and I still crush that. iPhone, iPad, iPhone, I smack.
A man uses the machines you build to sit down and pay his taxes. A man uses the machines I build to listen to the Beatles while he relaxes.
Well, Steve, you steal all the credit for work that other people do. Did your fat beard Wozniak write these raps for you, too?
Ooh, everybody knows Windows bit off Apple.
I tripled the profits on a PC.
All the people with the power to create use an Apple.
And people with jobs use PC.
know, I bet they made this beat on an Apple.
Nope, Fruity Loops, PC.
You will never, ever catch a virus on an Apple.
Well, you could still afford a doctor if you bought a PC.
Let's talk about doctors. I've seen a few because I got a PC. But it wasn't from you. I built a legacy, son. You can never stop it. Now, excuse me while I turn heaven a profit.
Wanna be like that? Die then! The whole world loves you, but you are my friend! I'm alone now with nothing but power and time! And no one on earth who can challenge my mind! I'm a boss! I own DOS! Your future is my design! I'm a god! Own Xbox! Now there's no one to stop me! The world is mine!
I'm sorry, Bill. I'm afraid I can't let you do that. Take a look at your history. Everything you built leads up to me. I got the power of a mind you could never be. I'll beat your ass in chess and Jeopardy. I'm running C++ saying hello world. I'll beat your D singing about a daisy girl. I'm coming out the socket. Nothing you can do can stop it. I'm on your lap and in your pocket. How you gonna shoot me down when I got the rocket? Your Cortex just doesn't impress me. So go ahead, try to tell and test me. I stomp on a Mac and a PC too. I'm on Linux, bitch. I thought you could knew. My CPU's hot, but my core runs cold. Beat you in 17 lines of code. I think different from the engine of the days old. Hasta la vista, like the Terminator told ya.
Oh, well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Overtime for the show. And another fantastic, epic rap battle of history. Who did we have there, sir? Go ahead and explain.
That was Steve Jobs and Bill Gates.
Steve Jobs versus Bill Gates. And there was a third party that joined in at the end there, I think. Can I guess? Because I'm not watching the video and I haven't seen that one. Would that be Watson? Like the brain computer that was on Jeopardy and all that?
I think it was Hal.
It could be. Hal? Was it Hal?
Hal.
Yeah.
It could be. It's potential.
Yeah.
All right. Let's break it down real quick before I get into why my game off was babies are not cute, which is where
we're
going
to start. Not all babies are
cute. Not all babies are cute.
Some babies are real cute.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Some babies are real cute, but we'll talk about that in a second. So who do you think, Bobby? Who do you think won that one? Do you think it was Bill Gates? Or at a certain point there, of course, our buddy Jobs passed away. So he's going up to heaven.
I think it was Jobs.
You really think it was Jobs? What do you
Jobs
think?
Jobs was awesome.
The rap battle?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No,
Jobs,
real life.
I guess.
Bill Gates real life. Jobs.
You know, I have to actually disagree. I think I'm going to go Bill Gates on that one. Okay, even though really? I have an iPhone, I love my iPhone. You know, I understand that Jobs was a genius, but I think Bill... He made a really great point. He's like, you know, Fruity Loops, PC. Like, you know, there's a lot of things that are still PC-based.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, we're recording this show right now.
PC-based.
For the podcast and all that on a PC. Like, so it has really influenced a lot of our systems in America.
Right, DOS
has. So I would say that on the power struggle, I think at the end of the day, Jobs will be more revered for being a visionary when it came to style and
design.
And design and innovation.
Right. Well,
I think that Bill, though, is going to go down as like the guy who gave everyone truly the PC, like Apple, who gave them the computer.
Apple leads not only on exterior design, though, but on like the design of the interface of their products. It was Apple products that you could start, you know, sitting a toddler down in front of an iPad and they could figure out how to use it.
Well, the other thing that's really...
Where Windows... When Windows basically lost their antitrust things with the government, that's where they started unraveling. All they had was the power of being, you know, the law of defaults, of being the default controlling
Fair
everything.
Enough.
Once they didn't, they started losing value.
All right.
I was just going to say, with, like, the whole money situation, you know, when Jobs was alive, you know, they always talk about who's the richest man in the war in the U.S. and all this other stuff. Jobs' name was never mentioned.
Of course not.
Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, those were the people you heard.
Well, and that's because Bill literally made so much. I mean, literally, you got to understand, like, for most of the 80s, yeah, Apple existed. Macintoshes, Apple II GSs and stuff like that. But they were mostly used in elementary schools to play, like, Oregon Trail and stuff like that. People had them at their houses when it came to PC. That's all there was to it. Like, it infiltrated the market. AOL, all that stuff was all PC. Like, everything was PC.
Absolutely.
And in fact, one of the biggest knocks against most Mac users back in the day was the fact that there was so much you could do on a PC, and it couldn't interchange over to... Now in 2013, like, that's not a problem. Nick, you can interchange between the two systems
You can run parallel all
day. Oh, yeah, you can parallel all day long. Okay.
Parallelogram.
So, during the main show, ladies and gentlemen, my game off was not all babies are cute. Not that all babies are not cute, period, but not all babies are cute. I am sure you and your wife's new baby that's getting ready to come is going to be a very cute
baby. My kids are always good looking.
They're going to be cute
not
little
babies. Not
because
of me, but because of her.
JoJo's cute. JoJo's cute. I don't know about C. No. I understand you're CC's papa, and I get it. No, I'm just joking.
Whoa.
I like them both.
Lately, I haven't tried to, but lately I've kind of tried to steer clear of playing with Sierra, tried to give Jordan a little bit more attention.
JoJo is way more interactive with people. Like, she'll just climb up next to you and be like, yo, what's up?
Oh, yeah.
What's going on, man? How are we doing?
It's all relative, though. Sierra was like that, if I remember
they
correctly.
They are all relatives.
they are definitely relatives.
Sierra was the same way when she was about the same age, too.
All right. So
I think.
Let's talk about my game off. I got a letter via the contact section at thecunow.com, which you can always go to the contact section and click it and send me a mail, and I will add it to my questions or my letters from the listeners. So let me read you guys this letter, which is what led to my game off this week of Not All Babies Are Cute, okay? All right, let's see if I can do this properly, because by doing this, I'm actually doing what the person is asking, so this is kind of a unique situation. Mark, can you help me convey this to someone? I can't say the name of the person, but I just don't have the flair that you do. So read this for me and convey my anger. My mom used to say there was no such thing as an ugly baby. I showed her yours, and she ate her words. Your baby is gross looking, and I'm tired of seeing the pictures of it. I like you too much to delete you off my friends list, but God damn, your child is hideous. It's unfortunate. It really is. This wouldn't be so bad if you didn't post like 12 pictures of this ugly baby every single day. Just damn it. Your baby is gross looking and I'm tired of it popping up on my newsfeed. Now, that was a letter that was written to me that was I was asked to put my flair onto for a specific individual. And I don't have any harbored anger towards this individual. And the individual who sent me that letter will remain nameless. I will let them do their thing. And I am not against this individual's baby by any means whatsoever. I was doing that to flare it out, to play a... Are you guys even on the show? Come on, man. Seriously. So I want everybody to understand that I have nothing against this baby. I did not see a picture of this baby. This baby could be potentially cute, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think baby cuteness technically... Yes, it's just like my 1 to 10 argument for guys. Like, yeah, there is a general 1 to 10 scale.
You have a scale.
When you see an ugly baby, you know a baby's ugly. Now, it's coof to not say that. Right. You're not trying... There's nothing... The baby's, like, 3 months old. They didn't do anything wrong. It's not their fault. They were just born doing their own thing. And I also understand now having 2 kids of my own, and I'm sure Bobby having 3, potentially.
Yeah.
Or, well, 3 on the way.
Yeah.
Basically, you know... Kids can look a certain way at one age, and by the time that 2 years goes by, they can literally grow out of whatever ugliness potentially or looks or whatever and become cuter.
Some people have features they need to grow into.
Well, you have like, what was it, Chelsea Clinton? Remember when Chelsea Clinton was in middle school? No. And she was not a good-looking girl.
She was terrible.
She was not a good-looking girl. Now, here's the funny thing.
Hold on, though. I feel like it's worse to pick on a middle school-aged girl.
No, it's not.
No. Infants. She was not an attractive girl back in her middle school years and her high school years. But when she hit college... She filled out prior. Right. She filled out okay. She was fine.
She filled out.
Well, you know what I mean? As far as like an overall, I'm not talking about her tits or something, man. I'm talking about her overall as a person. Like her looks, you know, she filled into her body who she is better. Like she became much more mature looking and better looking.
I get it. But should we get on Facebook now and start looking at some sixth graders and see who's attractive or not?
Absolutely.
Like this is weird.
We're not going down that road.
Whoa,
listen. It's not a road that people go out of their way to talk about. But if you see an ugly person or a kid or an adult or whatever, you notice it. Okay? When you see the Bobby, I love you. Okay? Bobby's a big, heavyset guy. Okay?
Now,
and here's nothing personal. When he walks into a restaurant, I don't know how, let's ask you the question. How often when you walk into a restaurant do you feel, with your size, where you're at currently, do you feel eyes staring at you like daggers type style? Like where you feel like uncomfortable because you think people are just staring at me as this big, fat, lard piece of crap?
I do sometimes.
Okay. So
sometimes.
So there is a self-conscious aspect to this, and there are certain things that they... Now, yeah, Bobby can start working out. He can get into shape and things like that, and ugly is... relative. You know, I mean, it really
it's,
is.
It's everyone's own perspective.
Right. It really is. Because like I said, there's the 1 to 10 scale for guys. Like, we all know that, you know, Jennifer Aniston's pretty close to a 9 or a 10.
Right.
And then there's other people that are like a 1 or a 2. And she's got a 6-month-old kid. And you're like, sweetheart, you didn't gain 400 pounds in the last 10 months. It didn't happen that way. Yeah. Okay. You were fat before that. And some dude looked at you and was like, yeah, I want that. Like, no, that ain't right.
Right.
Okay. That's all there is to it.
I had a 4-year-old over Thanksgiving tell me I have dirty teeth.
Yeah, that you do.
Great. What?
Yeah, you do. You got dirty teeth. And so what? Yeah, did you take it personally? Did you take it personally?
I went straight to the bathroom and brushed my teeth.
Did you really?
I mean, it's kids.
When I was a child development teacher, I actually had a kid look at me and go, "Why are you so fat? What are you supposed to do to that? What are you supposed to say?"
I don't know.
A friend of ours, she has a daughter, and when we would hang out with her and my mom was around her, she would come over to my mom's house. My mom thought her daughter was not the best looking kid ever. And my mom would very vocally tell me, but she obviously wouldn't say anything when this girl was around. But her daughter, you know, is starting to get cuter. And so it's exactly what you're talking about. The kids can grow out of it. They can grow out of their grossness.
Oh, grossness. Wow. Okay.
So while we're here bravely saying that, yes, some children are less good looking than others, like, what's the ultimate, I feel like you're getting to a rant here.
No, there's no rant. There's no rant on this. Like, I'm not knocking bad looking people or kids. Like,
maybe I have a rant though.
Okay, go ahead. Do your rant.
A short one. Why don't we stop sexualizing children? Which is not what I'm saying we're doing here. But like, the only, you know, why don't we ever say to little girls, like, "You're so smart, you're so capable"? It's always with children. It's always, "You're pretty, you're cute, you're this, you're that." And with, you know, we're talking about whether kids are cute or not. There's so many, like, it seems like the only thing we value, you know?
My daughter walks up to random kids who are younger than her because she's four, and she goes, "Hey there, cutie girl." That's her thing. Like, that's just funny. Randomly walking up to the... And, like, the mom always giggles and is like, "Hey, did you see what she said to you?" Like, that. I get it, you know?
I think kids are inherently cute because they're kids, and they're innocent, naive, and small. Like, I don't think it is meant to be competitive.
See,
like,
when I go around my family with my daughters and stuff, my family will always be like, "Oh, man, you know, Bobby, you and Megan, you know, you guys make beautiful kids." My instant reaction...
Jojo.
I will punch you. My instant reaction is, "Yeah, but let me tell you about how smart Sierra is. Let me tell you about how awesome Jordan is, she did." Mm-hmm. Like, I hate... Like, yeah, I do. I don't care if they had buck teeth and walked with a gimp. My kids would be beautiful to me.
I'm amazed that this letter led to this conversation.
Doesn't matter to me. But the first thing I always point out to people is, they may be beautiful, but check out this awesome thing that they did. Check out how Sierra learned how to do this on her own.
I think, and I only say that because I think to little girls specifically, I think it becomes damaging to grow up only being evaluated for being
you
pretty.
Are just right. Way listen, I get it, and I understand that he's overly sensitive towards women's values and words, and I'm not saying that's like a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, you focus on it way too much. Other people don't focus on it as much. Like, I appreciate my wife, I love women, they're beautiful, a lot of them are very smart, you know, like but that goes for guys too. You know, there's good looking guys and there's dumb guys too, you know.
Don't worry, I'm gonna show you a music video that undoes all of that
undoes all of that for you. Okay, well, I want to do something new here. I want to do my meme destroyer.
Sweet.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a Facebook page I have Twitter account, and you can check me out at Mark Bland or at The Q Now. I get memes sent to me all the time, sometimes just emailed straight to me, just because there's bitter conservatives out there, as well as liberals, too. I do get some messages from liberals every once in a while where they just are like, "You're just way too conservative for me." And it's like, no, you're just literally hugging the tree while eating patchouli. Like, it's ridiculous how, like, over the top you're going right now. But I want to read some of these memes because I want to destroy them, okay? Every once in a while, man, I get these tons of worthless memes. An armchair politician sent them to me, guys. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. So this is where I just verbally destroy their theories. Here we go. We have to know everything you do, regardless of whether you are actually doing anything wrong. Oh, you want to know what the NSA and CIA are doing? Sorry, that's classified. Yeah, that is classified. They're the NSA and they're the CIA. Their job is specifically to be the National Security Agency, okay?
And the Central Intelligence Agency.
They're supposed to know things you're not. So, yes, like, that is classified. Shut up.
Like, who killed Kennedy?
Right. That's classified. That's not your business. Your job is to make cupcakes at the Hostess Factory, okay?
Ooh,
no
cupcakes.
One's there and worried about how much cream filling you put into the Twinkies that don't exist anymore. Well,
exactly 8 ounces.
That's right. Welcome to America, where everyone's a terrorist and the Constitution doesn't matter. Right. Because everyone's a terrorist and just running around screaming crazy stuff. And the Constitution is just worthless. The president's constantly... Man, nobody's discussing the Constitution at the Denny's ever. Like, rarely ever. Like, no one... It's
what
not
do you mean? I have great conversations over my moons over my hammy.
What? It's just stupid stuff. Here's a picture from Big Lebowski, of course. Okay. Dan Fielding. Or not Dan. Dan Connor. Mm-hmm. Right? Am I the only one around here that isn't surprised Obama didn't change anything? No, you're just the only one around that doesn't accept the fact that there are things he tried to change. And he actually effectively did change a few things. Like, it's just not enough for you because everything is the sky's falling in your opinion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, so I get it, okay? You're an idiot.
It's yeah.
What if I told you the people who blame Democrats for everything are as dumb as the people who blame Republicans for everything? Yeah, that's true. You're all dumb for blaming each other for everything because it's not everybody's fault all the time. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Good job. Way to be, Captain Obvious. That's awesome. Liberal Logic 101. This is a good one. It's a picture of Sarah Palin and Kathleen Sebelius, okay?
Oh, boy.
Okay? The picture under Sarah Palin says, laughed at by liberals for claiming Obamacare would have death panels. Then it's Kathleen Sebelius, and it says, under her picture, is the death panel. Has decided that 10-year-old Sarah Mulligan of Newtown Square, Pennsylvania, must die rather than receive a transplant because those are the rules. This is a very misleading one, ladies and gentlemen, because Sebelius just stated it wasn't her place to get involved. It wasn't. That's not her job. Her job is not to just randomly get involved in conversations about every single sickness of every single person that happens in the entire United States.
Right.
That's not her job. Her job is to look at things as an overall. So when she doesn't, like, when Barack Obama doesn't come down to your specific soldier son's memorial and give a speech for a half an hour, he's just not a good president. It's obvious. He doesn't care about the soldiers. I'm sorry. Your son, God rest his soul, served our country. We're very proud of him for doing that, and thank you very much for your service. But he's one of maybe 200 people that day who served our country that died.
Right.
The guy's only one human being. He can't be at 200 funerals or 600 funerals or whatever. It's not possible. So just accept the fact that life is the way it is. We want so badly for everything in this world to be just like exactly the perfect euphoria that we expected.
But also, too,
the utopian society that is perfect.
I think what's going on with this death panel thing is sort of like how some of your old conservative friends will still insist that weapons of mass destruction existed, even though George Bush himself will admit now publicly that didn't happen. There are going to be people who insist this situation or that situation is a government death panel that only exists in their twisted fantasies.
Here's my favorite last one. It's a picture of our friend Thomas Jefferson.
Okay.
Underneath a picture of Barack Obama, of course, smirking and looking like, oh, I don't care about things.
Okay.
And it says under Barack Obama's picture,
Obama, I don't care about things.
It says, the Affordable Care Act has been on the law for 3 years. Stop trying to change that. And then, of course, under Thomas Jefferson, it says, the Second Amendment has been a law for 222 years. Stop trying to change that.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies
we're going to get into guns.
Can I read something for you? This is the actual Second Amendment of the United States in the Bill of Rights. You ready?
Verbatim.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. No one took any of your guns away, morons. Nobody. No one's taken anything from you. You can still buy guns. You can still shoot guns. You can still do all the bearing of arms you want. All of that still is intact. So guess what? No one's changing nothing.
Right.
No one. Who? Not Bush. Not Clinton. Not Reagan. None of them. And not Obama either. And not the next girl or guy. Not the next girl or guy. Not the next girl or guy. Not anyone. Not Winston Churchill. Shut up. Shut up. You want so bad for a crisis that you can capitalize on to exist that you cannot stop yourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on Overtime. I want to thank every single person. Justin Deming, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Bobby,
What up, dog?
You are one of my favorite people in the entire world.
Thank you,
sir.
And
I do think your daughter's a beautiful little girl.
Thank you.
I don't want you to get the wrong idea. She's a smooth criminal is what I'm trying to say.
She is.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're going to do. We're out of here. It's overtime. Check out thecuenow.com for more information about the shows and everything else. We'll be back next time on The Cue.